Father, we long to be in your presence, where your praises never end. We pray, Father, that you will really speak to our hearts this morning, and we pray that our hearts be open, that we'll take away everything that's distracting us and focus on what you have to say to us. Help us to see what is truth. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've been following this account of Jesus, we're really looking at the last days he has on earth. And we've heard a number of things. We've heard that he was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter as ever knowing him. All of which must happen for fulfillment of the scriptures. Now we see Jesus in this account. He does not resist arrest, nor does he try to rally an army around him to fight. Instead, he willingly gives up himself to the soldiers, who from the account when Jesus said, "I am he you're looking for," they drew back and they fell down and they seemed to be confused. A puzzling admission of Jesus' authority. Jesus further confirms to the commanding officers that he's the one they seek, and is then brought before the chief priests, who then questions Jesus about his motives. Nothing comes from the Inquisition, nothing at all. So Jesus is sent to Pilate. They couldn't find anything to charge him with. Pilate, in his account, represents the power of Rome, and his job is to protect Roman interests. Any threat to Rome would be met with swift, painful death. The events leading up to this may seem strange if you do not know who Jesus is. The question is, what has this man done, this man Jesus, to deserve this sort of treatment? And this morning, I want us to see what Jesus has been telling his disciples, he's been telling the soldiers, he's been telling Pilate, he's been telling the world about himself. We're going to see that he's accused of blasphemy, judged to be evil, and eventually sentenced to a cruel death upon a cross. And Jesus suffers all this humiliation and big pain for one reason only, because he loves us. He goes to the cross because he has the power to give up his life. He is a king from above who has the power over life and death. It's a power he uses in love to draw us to the Father. But you may ask how that could be. Well, you only need to look back at chapter 17. All is revealed there in this lovely prayer. The whole chapter is a prayer. He's praise to the Father on behalf of his disciples and on behalf of us. And this is what a couple of verses from it reads like. And this will tell you what Jesus had on his mind. Verse 20 of chapter 17. "I do not ask for these only, but also those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Verse 26. "I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Isn't that lovely? We are on his mind. Now, Jesus' blasphemy is that he claims to be the Son of God, the Savior King, an accusation that was not punishable under Roman law, and at least not to death. The accusation of him being evil is linked to his alleged blasphemy, and so nullified any guilt, and so his sentence to death is an injustice. But none of this makes any sense if we don't understand a couple of things. The truth is, Jesus took our blasphemy, he takes our wickedness, and he takes our sentence to die because he loves us. And none of this is possible if Jesus is not God's Son, the King of Heaven, the King of Heaven, and the King of Earth. So we see Jesus, he goes before Pilate. And he does not go because he's weak and powerless. I mean, at his command, angels, hosts of angels would come down from heaven and actually come to his defense. Yet this is the beauty of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. Jesus offers up himself to the accusations of people who reject his power and his authority. They reject his kingship. It is evident here to Pilate that something is quite amiss. Something is not right. In verse 29, he says, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" The response is unspecific. It's a baseless accusation of evil, and Pilate sees it for what it is. He says, "Judge him by your own laws." But the hearts of the crowd are revealed. "We cannot kill him," they say, "but you can." And this is not unusual. It is quite customary for empires like Rome to not allow the people they have actually occupied land over to allow them to kill anyone. But the Jews were not always obedient. They only followed that law when it suited them. You only have to read a couple chapters later on in the books of Acts that Stephen was stoned to death. They took that in their own hands. They didn't ask anybody to kill him. They did it themselves. So in these verses, there are two reasons for Jesus to take the bitter cup he refers to in verse 11. It is a cup the Father gives to him, and no one else can drink it but him. Jesus is a king who dies on a cross to give those who believe in him new life. You see, this is my first point. I wanted to see this morning that Jesus dies to fulfill what he has been telling his disciples all along. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. The Jewish death penalty was by stoning, but the Romans' death penalty was crucifixion. Jesus will be lifted up to die on a cross to draw people to his kingdom, because his kingdom is not of this world. He is the king from above. Jesus must die because if he does not, we are sentenced to be slaves of the fatality of this world, sentenced to imperfect love, hate, war, dying perpetually because we have rejected the king, the true king. Isn't it peculiar that privately Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" You see, Pilate wants to know if Jesus really is a king. Is he really claiming to be king? But Jesus' response confuses him. You see, it is inconceivable that the man standing before him could be a king of anything. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, if Jesus said yes, it would constitute treason, a capital offense. He's taking over from Rome, isn't he? And a reason for Rome to actually sentence him to death. If he says no, he denies that he is the messianic king, a king who is not of this world. So Jesus' question here in verse 34, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? He's asking, have you properly investigated my claims and are wondering if I am the Jewish Messiah, or are you relying on the secondhand charges of the Jewish leaders? You see, Pilate cannot sentence Jesus with proper charges. In his own admission, Pilate declares, I am not a Jew. He does not understand what Jesus had done to cause this, his own people, to hand him over. And Jesus makes it clear that he is a king, just not the kind of king Pilate might envision. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom. The kings or rulers over earthly kingdoms rule by force. They've imposed their presence on geographic territories and they seek to conquer other territories through military might. They force their subjects to pay taxes so they can live in luxurious palaces while they build and sustain their armies. But Jesus' kingdom is different. As he explains to his disciple in Matthew 20, he calls them together and he says, you know that the rulers of the world, the Gentile world, lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the king from above who dies on a cross to give those who believe in him new life. And my second point, Jesus is the king who lives to be a witness to the truth. Jesus is the king who lives to be a witness to the truth. Pilate asks a very important question. He says, what is truth? And this morning we may ask ourselves that very same question. What is truth? The truth is that Jesus is sent from the Father speaking life from the words given to him by the Father, so that we would come to know that God sent Jesus to save us. Not only that, but Jesus is the Word, and the Word is truth, and we who believe in him are set apart in truth. That is, we are set apart in Christ, because he is truth. Amen. Then we get on to verses back in chapter 17 in his prayer. Very important ones here again. I'm going to take a couple from here. For I have given them the words you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth I came from you. They believed that you sent me. Then he says, sanctify them in truth. And he says, your word is truth. As you sent me in the world, so I have sent them in the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself. I make myself sacred. I make myself special for you, that they also may be set apart, sanctified in truth. Amen. Pilate said he found no guilt in Jesus and tried to avoid the guilt of killing an innocent man. In Jewish tradition, he offers up a scapegoat, a man much more deserving of death than Jesus, Barabbas, a robber. It's interesting. The name Barabbas means son of the Father. And isn't it amazing that in an instant, instead of him, the true son of the Father dies. See, I am Barabbas. And the Bible says Jesus took the place of, I am the guilty one. I am the one who deserves to die. John later writes in a letter to the church in 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, we are faithful. If he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar. And his word, remember what the word stands for, truth. And his word, his truth, is not in us. The truth is the admission that we have sinned, we have come short, and for that reason, Jesus willingly, obediently subjects himself to the destiny of the cross. On the cross, it is Jesus who hands over his spirit. Nobody else. In John 19:30, we see that. Jesus' purpose is to witness to the truth, we see in 18, verse 37, is enacted in this moment. In the end, it is Jesus, not Judas, not the Jews, or Pilate, who exerts authority over life and death. He is the one. He is the king. He has that authority. It is noticeably clear that in John 18, 33 to 37, he wants us to realize something. In this world where it is full of hatred, corruption, there is hope. Our leaders may fail. They may fail to pit power and authority. And yet, we must remember that God is the ultimate ruler. Power and status here on earth are meaningless. Jesus' kingship can be difficult. Yes, it will be difficult for us to see because it becomes evident in the crucifixion. That's where we find it, rather than in war and in conflict or political dominance. And today, Jesus' kingship can be seen, though difficult it may be, for the same reasons. Like the Jews, our allegiances to earthly powers lead us to deny God's power, God's kingship. And we may not even be aware that we have done so. If we welcome him with joy or we fight to keep the power we think is ours, he's still king. If we gladly bow down to him or turn our backs to him and ignore his commands in our lives, he's still king. If we freely offer gifts and possessions back to the poor, or to those who need it, or if we grudgingly guard what we have, like a dog guarding his bowl of food, he's still king. Doesn't matter. He is still king. Now, I invite you this morning to seek him, that king. He is listening out for those who want to know him. He is waiting for those who need him. Because he is a king who dies on a cross to give those who believe in him new life. He is a king who lives to be a witness to the truth. As we sung earlier, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen.